So anyway, we're back. Ellen, we're here again. Let's remind our audience that you are Ellen Thurston. I am Matthew Tombers. This is the Thursday afternoon show, and our guest is
Barbara Raina.
It's me, Barbara Raina.
Yes.
And so we'll start all over again.
Okay.
Barbara was involved, as far as I can tell, in the discovery of an African-American cemetery in Kinderhook. Is that right?
Well, I wasn't actually involved
in
the discovery.
No.
But initially you asked how I describe myself.
Uh-huh.
I describe myself as a freelance juggler. That is my description where it comes to...
I love it!
That's right. Where it comes to video photography, writing. As you mentioned, I used to write for the Register Star, Daily
right.
Freeman. I actually started as an intern at WDST in Woodstock.
Oh.
And that was back in 87 when they actually had, it was the Bulldog of the Hudson Valley. They actually had a bulldog in the radio station. So I'd be on the air doing a newscast and I'd hear the door open. I'd feel a nudge at my ankle and there would be a bulldog licking my ankle. So if you could do a newscast with a bulldog licking your ankle.
You can do anything.
Yeah.
You can juggle anything.
That was the hope. Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yep.
That's wild.
So tell us about the discovery of this graveyard and how the research was conducted to decide mm-hmm. what it was exactly.
Yes, this is really a fascinating story, and the credit doesn't go to me at all. It goes to the people of Kinderhook.
Mm-hmm.
There were a number of villagers. It was Warren Applegate, Hollis Seaman, who lives right on Rothermel Avenue on the corner of where the graveyard is, and Kinderhook historian Ruth Pawanka. Mm-hmm. They, a couple of years ago, found what was always spoken of as the slave cemetery.
Oh, they knew that there had been slaves buried there?
It was always just called the slave cemetery, mm-hmm. from what they knew. And they decided to investigate, well, what is this? So it was overgrown, and there were a few stones there. So they got the mayor involved and cleared the overgrowth. And then the Kinderhook historian got involved and said, let's see if we can get this on the National Register of Historic Places. And from there, that investigation continued, where they found out that this quarter acre of land, which it was one rood of land, R-O-O-D, so this quarter acre was set aside, it was put in, John Rogers put it in his will, that this quarter acre of land would be set aside for the persons of color. And
I didn't know all of this was documented in any way.
And he was an Irish immigrant. And so he died in 1815, and the cemetery was active from 1816 and then closed in 1875, as Collier writes, with coffin upon coffin. And so just the time period itself is interesting, especially in New York State. It's a time period of when there may have been slaves buried there, freed persons buried there at the time of the Civil War. So an exciting time.
What were the dates again?
The cemetery was open from 1816 to 1875.
Uh-huh.
And they estimate, it's a guesstimate, that there are some 500 African-Americans buried in that quarter acre of land, where only about 19 stone markers, there's gravestones, and then these flat stone markers
mm-hmm.
Stand. And so in 2016, Ruth Pawanka and others, they got it on the National Register of Historic Places. There was a...
That gives it some protection?
It gives it some respect, which is what the villagers in doing this rediscovery were trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
The people of Kinderhook, I found, are from being a reporter, because I don't live in Kinderhook, but I found them to be very interested in their history, as many are in Columbia County.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. And so there was a archaeological dig to place the interpretive sign in May, just this past May. And it was. And this is also in the documentary. Very interesting how the archaeologists, they were looking for a spot that would not disturb the graves, because they really don't know exactly where they are. But he was able to find out where these, in one area, he identifies where the grave shafts are. And there was a bone fragment that was uncovered, possibly human. Don't really know, because he was just doing this dig for the interpretive signs. So once he found that, he just covered that up and moved to a site that was clear. And so then there was a rededication in May of 2017. And again, we had representatives from the Underground Railroad History Project and from, let's see if I can say this correctly, Andrew Aaron Carter of the Ujima Journey, who did a libation ceremony. So I'm normally a videographer who does works on a contractual basis. Mm-hmm. But for this, I was an independent filmmaker because I said, wow, this... there's a story here. It's so interesting.
So you filmed all of this while it was going on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like many artists, it was kind of film first and hopefully fund later.
Yeah.
And
I was going to say, who was paying for all this?
Yeah. So that's the hopeful part, but I couldn't pass up this. I felt that this story was just too important to local history. I'd like to get it into the school system as well in terms of local history, experiencing history, black history.
I was, as the Brits would say, gobsmacked this afternoon when Ellen told me that there had been slaves in Columbia County, and that just had never entered my brain, that there had been slaves here.
Yeah.
It's still gobsmacking me.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We thought they were all down south.
Yeah.
Well, it's such an agricultural community, and that Dutch colonization, and they kind of came over with brought over. Yeah.
Oh, you think
with brought over with the Dutch?
Oh, I didn't realize that. Well, it's quite amazing that it's all still there, and
fragments. Yeah, really. Mm-hmm.
So do you plan to take the film to some film festivals as well as trying to get it into the schools and things like that?
Yes, I'd like to look into film festivals, definitely into school systems. I'm open to local venues right now. I know the Kinderhook Memorial Library, the Valencia Free Library are interested. But if there are other venues, I'd love for them to contact me at barbararena.com. I've got a whole page on the Kinderhook documentary. And
how do you spell your last name so people can...
Yeah. It's R-E-I-N-A. It's Reina. It means queen, but I'm not a queen. I'm just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the name of the film is Brought to Life?
Brought to Light.
Brought to Light.
Unearthing the History of an African-American Cemetery in Kinderhook, New York. So it's mainly Brought to Light, but I wanted to include all of that because it's also about Kinderhook as well. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's an important place of history.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And there's so much history. I mean, because I was like, how am I going to approach this? And I thought to myself, like, when my dad taught me how to sail and how to sail a boat and drive a speedboat. And he said, okay, you know, one point we were on out in the bay. It leads out to the ocean. He says, okay, you know, you see the lighthouse? Pick that point and head toward it. And so that's what I tried to do with the information, because Columbia County has a sea of history, of information. And so I tried to pick a point and head toward it and have as much information as germane to the subject kind of in the wake of that.
Mm. So are you looking for funds to finish the film?
I'll Yes, I will finish it no matter what, because I'm going to finish it in December. But yeah, having the funds would be great.
Well, I suppose you have to. I don't know how film travels these days. We call it film. I don't know what it is actually, but
it's X's and zeros.
It's X's ones and zeros. Ones and zeros. So how does it move to the library then if it's ones and zeros? Do you?
I'm planning on also putting it on DVD.
Oh, mm-hmm. So that would be easier.
Yeah, that's probably the best way. Even though we still use the terms film and we still use B-roll and all that, but there's nothing rolling anymore. There's no tape anymore, but we just still use those terms.
Yeah. I was at Film Columbia this last weekend to see Call Me By Your Name, which the script for which was written by Jim Ivory. And he said, and we're so delighted that you're here for the screening. And then he said, I don't know what the right term is because there's no film.
Well, people still are using those old words.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thank goodness. It's like I think when I look at my computer, do young people know what CC means? They send you a CC. Do you know what that means? I want to ask.
I do.
Do you know what it means, Barbara?
Don't remember. Can't think of it now.
Nope. Really?
I can't think of it at the moment. No.
Carbon copy.
Oh, no.
Do you remember carbon paper?
I remember
paper?
Carbon copy, but I didn't, I didn't realize that that's what that meant.
Yep.
As far as I know, that's what it means. Maybe I'm wrong.
I remember carbon copy. I remember the Associated Press machine in the newsroom, and it would just shake. It was like a monster, just shaking, and then
was it going typing it out?
Yes,
is that why it was shaking?
Typing out the news, and then when it had to change the spindles with the ink, it took me a while to get that. I mean, come out with black fingers, just full of ink and everything, and.
Well, I remember carbon paper. It was a piece of paper that had...
Smudged your fingers.
Yeah, if you touched it. And so you put a piece of paper, onion skin maybe, behind it, then the carbon paper, and then what was going to be your original copy.
Yep.
And you could put layers. You could put three or four carbons in. And it... Well, anyway, and then when it got a little better, because then they sold onion skin that had a piece of carbon paper attached, so you didn't have to work quite as hard. Oh, dear.
So you were Mary Tyler Moore.
Yes.
I knew it. Did she type? Did she actually type?
Yep, she typed.
Huh. Yep. Anyway, carbon copy. Kids, remember that? Of course, you date yourself.
Well, but it's still in use because we have 2 and CC on all those emails that we...
I know. And BCC. Do you know what a BCC is?
Well, I don't know.
Ask the bulldog. blind CC. Like, I'm sending you a copy, but nobody knows it. I don't want them to know that I'm sending it to you. So you send a blind CC.
Yes.
Anyway, so we're far afield from talking about this. Well, I'll call it a film.
That's right. It's okay.
You can call it a documentary.
You can call it
a documentary.
That works.
How long will the film be? Do you have any idea?
Between 45 minutes and an hour. Won't be longer.
Really?
Than an hour. Yeah.
And does it include interviews with the people involved?
Yes, the interviews, if I can give you just a quick list here. Let's see, the interviews. Well, one of the things, I did film some of the educational Kinderhook walks that they had this summer on local history, so you could actually see and experience that history. I interviewed University of Albany adjunct professor Dr. Roxanne Jones Booth, who talked about religion and migration. Columbia County Historical Society Executive Director and Curator, New York State Museum Bioarchaeologist Lisa Anderson, and Curator of Historical Archaeology Michael Lucas. And I have to say, Lisa Anderson was there. Everything was very interesting. But Lisa Anderson actually showed some skull casts that were made and the re-imagery process from the Schuyler Flats burial ground. Hmm. And so she, in the documentary, actually shows some of these skull casts and bones, which are able to show from the fragment you can see how they lived and how they worked. And she kind of explains some of that. And so it gives some background to that. Really interesting.
Do we know the dates of when slavery was prevalent here and when it ended and how all of that came about? Do you get into that kind of history as well?
Yep. The research that I found started with 1799 in New York State. If you were born July 4, 1799, you were born free as a person of color, but you were an indentured servant until adulthood. And then in 1817, they said, okay, if you were born before 1799, you could be free, but not until 1827. And so there was all these, yes, you are, but type things. And so, I mean, it wasn't really until 1865, across the United States, the 13th Amendment, that real freedom started to happen.
That just gobsmacks me.
Well, I'm curious as to whether there are any descendants of the slave population living in Columbia County.
I'm curious too, because, and I'm hoping from the documentary that those type of things
might
come out.
Revealed.
Yeah, yeah, because there's one particular stone that has and some of them have inscriptions, and one of them is for Isabel Leggett. It says, died 1854, age 77, and her inscription says, "The journey of the just is blessed, a tribute of respect erected by the ladies of Kinderhook." Beautiful. Mm. But we don't know why. We don't know the background of that. So there's facts and there's mystery still to be uncovered.
Wow. Stay tuned.
Yeah, no, that is amazing on so many levels.
Mm-hmm.
How did you become a filmmaker from having been a radio journalist who had a bulldog at her feet to doing films?
Well, I graduated in SUNY Cortland with a degree in radio and television communications and journalism. So I had the background in radio, in television, in video, and also in journalism. And back in 1987, and back then they said specialize, but who knew that today in 2017 you kind of have to know all of that to be the freelance juggler.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So then over the years I just kind of continued my education, because everything I learned in the studio was now on the laptop. So I had to kind of come up to speed with that. But a lot of the fundamentals of organizing a documentary or putting a story together are still the same.
Yeah, the storytelling is storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
How whatever tools you use to get to the story, it's still storytelling.
Right.
So.
Well, this is fascinating.
Yeah, what else should we know? Let's go over your website one more time. Barbara... Mm-hmm.
BarbaraReyna.com, and there's a page on that site that just says Kinderhook Documentary, mm-hmm. and you can go there. And I have a contact page that has my phone number, my email, or they can contact me through the contact page. If someone has a venue that they feel that this documentary would be good for, I'd absolutely love to show it around Columbia County.
And you spell your last name...
R-E-I-N-A.
Like queen. in Spanish.
Like rein her in. R-E-I-N-A. How many more weeks or days or months do you have to work on the film to have it be a finished product?
I'm working on getting this done, completed before Christmas. I'm already in the editing stage. Everything's been filmed.
So are you waiting until it's finished before you release it to these libraries and other places, or is it at a point where you could show it now?
It'll be at a point after December 20th that I'll be able to show it.
Oh, that's not so far away.
Right.
No.
Even though it seems like spring.
I know. It's beautiful outside.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
It is, yeah. I was amazed. You know, I was walking around thinking, gosh, I'm warm. And then I looked at the temperature and went, now I get it. It's 70 degrees on November 2nd.
You weren't saying, is this a hot flash? No, it's warm outside. Okay, I didn't know what it was. All right.
Thank you so much for coming in, Barbara.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yes.
It's a whole new lessons we have to learn about. So that's pretty exciting. And the people of Kinderhook are pretty great, too.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if anybody has any information on people like Miss Leggett or anyone else, you should be in touch with Barbara.
Yes.
So that we can find the subtext to this story.
I'm sure the Hudson Library will be very interested in it.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah. I'll let them know.
Oh, wonderful.
Hudson
Thank
Area
you.
Library, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
And you know, maybe film Columbia next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but Barbara, thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank
you. We can have you back next year right after you finish it, early in the year, after you finish the film and you've had your first few screenings, and you can talk about the reactions people have had to it.
That would be great. I'd love to do that.
All right.
Are you going to have an opening with a red carpet? And all that?
Right. I know my name means queen, but I'm just the girl from the Catskill Mountains. You know, that's not really queen, so no red carpet for me now.
Do you live in the Catskill Mountains now?
I live in Castleton, New York right now with my husband.
Where is Castleton? Is it on this side of the river?
It's near East Greenbush.
Up in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Right. South of here, I think. Or is it north of here?
You're asking me directions.
Northeast, perhaps.
East Greenbush.
It's near here.
Yeah, East Greenbush is up by Albany, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not far from Albany. Area. Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's north of here. Because I always think of Castleton. For whatever reason, I've always thought of Castleton as south, but it's not.
Mm.
So... good for you, Barbara. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I think this is wonderful.